Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Eileen Chen, an honors student at Penn State who is leading and shaping the future of ICT and society. Eileen, you have a really promising history of significant impact and contribution to society, the community, education, research, and the ICT industry as an undergraduate. Thank you for sharing your experiences and deep insights with our audience.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Stephen.
Eileen, I'm just looking at some of the things you've done, and I want that to be shared with the audience. So can you tell us more about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm a junior from New York City, and I'm in the Schreyer Honors College majoring in Information Sciences and Technology and minoring in Supply Chain and IST at Penn State. I am doing the Integration and Applications option in IST, and I intend to graduate in May of 2013. I am currently a research assistant for the College of IST, specifically working with the Center for Enterprise Architecture. I work under Dr. Brian Cameron, the executive director, and I think you have interviewed with him in the past. The research I'm doing currently, it's helping me develop my honors thesis about applying EA to supply chain planning and design. I also am a computer lab consultant for Penn State ITS Lab Consulting, a teaching intern for an introductory Java course, and will be a resident assistant starting in the spring semester. I am also involved with many different things on campus, including the Penn State IFC Panhellenic Dance Marathon and the Delta Gamma Sorority.
So you have a number of honors, and which ones are you particularly proud of and why?
I think I'm really proud of to have received the David Suarez Memorial Scholarship for my last few years of college. The scholarship is a remembrance from his colleagues at Deloitte Consulting and Deloitte & Touche. David was a Penn State graduate of 1999, and he worked for Deloitte Consulting. He lost his life from the September 11th attacks, and the scholarship really means a lot to me just because he was a great influence for his family, friends, and colleagues in everything he did. He had a great passion in giving back to the community, and I share that same passion. So inevitably, he's kind of the person I aspire to be.
You know, one of the big challenges in the industry right now in ICT, that is information communication technology, is getting diversity, and especially a higher penetration of women into the field. So I'm really interested in what prompted you to get into computing.
Well, it all started with my mom signing my brother and I up for a summer web design course back in, I think it was fourth grade. From then, I think I just fell in love with coding, web design, and being on the computer. And my older brother was a little bit more savvy with computers, so when he would fix something at home, you know, I would be so amazed at how it all worked. And in high school, I decided I wanted to learn more about computers, so I took on a computer science track, and I learned a lot about programming. So when I got to college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I explored some options, but then I came upon IST, and I knew that I liked technology, but I just didn't know that much about it, and so I just tried out an introductory course, and I absolutely loved it. I think my love for technology stems from my amazement of how it's always changing and growing, and, you know, it could be used to benefit so many aspects of life, and, you know, being, I guess, a minority group in technology, I think it really makes me work harder to, you know, make that field grow.
Yeah, you're an integral part of helping to, you know, increase diversity in the field, and your enthusiasm very much carries forward in the interview, so that's great. Now, can you share your experiences with THON, and what is THON?
Okay, so THON is short for the Penn State IFC Panhellenic Dance Marathon, and it's a year-long effort to raise funds and awareness for the fight against pediatric cancer. So it is also the largest student-run philanthropy in the world, and we've currently raised more than $78 million for the Four Diamonds Fund at Penn State Hershey Children's Hospital. I'm currently a technology captain and a developer for thon.org, which is our official website. I'm also an administrator for an organization called Bee House, and that organization, my friends and I started it our freshman year, and we solely fundraise for THON. So my sorority also participates in THON, so I'm connected with THON through those, and I just love being a part of it. You know, it's probably the greatest thing I could have ever done in college. When I see a child with cancer smile, it really just makes me so happy that I've helped make that happen. The whole fundraising year ends with a weekend we call THON Weekend, And that's February 17th to 19th this year. And it's a 46-hour no-sleep, no-sitting dance marathon. So all the supporters, families come out and all the kids. And, you know, it's a really fun time just to celebrate all the hard work we've done all this year.
Sounds like an amazing kind of piece of work and service that you're conducting. Now, how are you passionate about community service? Can you get into more detail about that?
I just love giving back. You know, I was very fortunate to have had a happy childhood, and I'm blessed with great family, friends, and education, and, you know, just a great life. And I always thank my parents and grandparents who immigrated from China to America 30 years ago with not much for providing me and my brother with all the love and support I needed to be happy. And I just see social inequality in the world, and I think everyone deserves a better quality of life, especially children. I just love giving back and paying it forward. At the end of the day, I think if I at least made one person's life somehow better, I've done what I wanted to do.
Well, that's interesting. You indicated your family immigrated from China, so do you speak Mandarin or Cantonese?
I've actually taken 3 semesters of Mandarin, and I'm fluent in Cantonese.
Well, that's excellent, especially with Asia becoming increasingly important in the world.
Right, right.
Now, tell us more about your current studies and how you will apply this knowledge into industry.
I've taken many ISC courses in the past, and I'm about to begin to take supply chain courses next semester. So in my past ISC courses, I've learned, you know, many different things and aspects about IT. For example, this semester I'm taking IT project management and organizational structures and functions. And all our ISC courses are very group-based, and I think that's a really great way to learn not only the material, but also to learn how to act on teams because, you know, when I get out in the real world, I know that I'll be working with different people. And I think I probably learned the most about how to learn and how to communicate, how to work with different people, and how to analyze problems creatively. In the industry, I think all those things are really useful. And since technology is always changing, we always need to learn, question, and then, you know, tell the rest of the world what we found out.
So what programming languages have you studied?
I've studied Visual Basic, C++, and Java.
In terms of, you know, the kind of work that you're doing and the research you're going to be doing in the future, I know that you're working on or will soon be working on your honors thesis. So what value will you deliver through this thesis?
So like I said before, I'm doing my honors thesis on applying enterprise architecture to supply chain planning and design. So I hopefully, I want to eventually map the SCORE model with the TOGAF model. So right now, my first step is to learn about both of those fields and currently reading about SCORE and TOGAF and seeing where there are overlaps and gaps of those two models. I believe EA can be used for anything, and my job is pretty much to see how that idea would fit with supply chain. And I think my honors thesis will be completed by April of 2013. So I'm currently, you know, starting with all the introductory stuff right now.
So who are the originators of those two models that you talked about?
Well, SCORE was developed by, the Supply Chain Council, and TOGAF is produced by the Open Group.
Have you looked at the one produced by the Department of Defense at all? Or?
Well, actually, I'm working with a graduate student who is, you know, doing a very similar thing as I am. He's mapping the SCORE model to DODAF. So, I mean, don't know too much about it, but I think in the future I would definitely learn about it since I am working with him on that.
I see. Yeah, I think it would be interesting, maybe in an appendix, to put some sort of mapping, at least a preliminary one, also to DODAF.
Right.
Now, what value are you providing to FIPO? And FIPO is the Federation of Enterprise Architecture Professional Organizations.
So I'm currently working with FIPO's Communications Committee. Recently, I've been doing a lot of putting together PowerPoints for FIPO, and in the future, I would do things like gather news channel information from the FIPO members, assist with newsletter development, and assist with the top 4 stakeholder identification. I hope to support FIPO's goals by promoting FIPO.
Now, you are an honor student, and you have a lot of additional activities and responsibilities you've taken on, and really indicating what a stellar person you are. How do you find the time?
I think that's my biggest challenge. I think it's really important to time manage everything. I have I have different planners. I have to plan everything out, my day. And, you know, I have to color code everything. My Google Calendar is always, you know, updated. And I always look for it to know what I'm doing. And I think it's just knowing what you can and cannot do. So, for example, there's many things that I wanted to take on because I was interested in, but I knew that I didn't have the time to dedicate myself to it. So I realized that, and I didn't take on those things. But I think all the activities I'm doing right now, it's definitely things I'm extremely passionate about. And time management is just a thing that you learn as you go. So I think, yeah, it's just important to time manage well and always keep organized.
Now, what are your top challenges and opportunities?
I think my top challenge was literally just, you know, really about time, you know, just time to do my homework, my job, my research, my activities, you know, and always just have even time to eat or catch up with my friends or even just call my parents, and then there's time to do everything else. I think those, I mean, time really is my biggest challenge, and I think that would equate to my three top challenges. But, you know, then again, that leads into my three greatest opportunities. So getting involved in so many wonderful things that have helped me grow professionally and personally, meeting so many great people and friends who just simply amaze me in what they do. And I think just being able to enjoy life and everything that goes with it, I think those are my top three opportunities.
Now, how will you accomplish your top goals, and how will you measure success against each of these goals?
I always measure success by how happy I am with each goal. So if I feel like I'm doing the right things and I like what I'm doing and where I'm going, I think I'm pretty successful at those things. In the end, it's just all about pure happiness. And if I feel like each goal is making me happy, I feel like I'm successful at those.
Now, in your current research and studies, what are your top challenges and top opportunities, and how will the challenges be solved and the opportunities be actioned?
Well, my top three challenges are learning both enterprise architecture and supply chain in very deep levels with such a short amount of time. I've recently just gotten into both. I mean, I haven't even taken supply chain courses or any enterprise architecture course. So it's really learning about both of those things and finding the information I'm exactly looking for. That's probably the second thing. And third, probably putting it all together. I've never written a paper that is more than 10 pages long yet. So that will definitely be a challenge for me. However, I'm using all the resources I have access to learn about both of those fields and get the information I'm looking for. I have a lot of access to a lot of reading material, which is great. And like I told you before, I'm working with a graduate student named Eric McMillan, and he's mapping DODEF and SCORE. So that really helps me a lot when he talks to me about both of them. Or he's also learning about TOGAF, so he's also helping me in that respect. And Dr. Cameron has gave me access to an EA class he is teaching, so that all the materials in that course will definitely help me learn about EA. I will also be taking an ISC Honors Thesis Writing course next semester, and that will definitely help me learn how to organize all my information, research more, and the opportunities I get out of all of this is I'll probably become really knowledgeable about EA and supply chain. I may also find out new things while doing my research, and I will have learned how to organize and communicate a lot of information into one document.
I see. Do you plan to do graduate studies after you finish?
Currently, not right now, but it's definitely something on my mind.
I see. I mean, you have a lot of time to make that decision, of course.
Yeah.
Now, can you describe three areas of controversy or much discussion in the areas that you research or in your studies?
I think the first and second areas of controversy, many people don't think TOGAF or SCORE is very useful because they may not know, you know, how to apply those models to whatever they're doing. And third, I think EA cannot be specifically defined. So I think, you know, there's much discussion of, you know, what EA really is, or, you know, how could we express EA?
Now, you're still in your undergraduate years, but you're getting a sense of what's happening in the, you know, through social media and all the changes that are occurring, all the innovation that's occurring worldwide. Now, if I were to ask you then to make some predictions, what would they be? For example, for IT workers or practitioners, what should they embrace today in terms of technology and into the future?
I think Dr. Cameron talked to me once about how other foreign countries, such as India and China, you know, they're growing their technologies at such a fast pace. And I think those countries may rise to be the leaders in technology one day. So I think we can best prepare for that, you know, by knowing that and having more people learn about their country's innovations, so, you know, we can also learn and grow our own technology field.
Now, if we were to extend that question then into businesses, what technology should businesses embrace today and into the future?
I think businesses should embrace enterprise architecture and cloud computing. I think those two topics are really interesting to me. And, you know, EAs has so much to offer to the whole of the organization, and especially the businesses. And I think more people should be involved with it. And I also think cloud computing, it's a really neat idea. And I think it would, you know, improve a lot of businesses' functions just because it's out there.
Now, you know, there's professions like accounting, medicine, law, and engineering, and they are recognized professions with professional development, adherence to code of ethics, recognized credentials. What are your thoughts about computing becoming a recognized profession?
I think it's a great idea. Computing is a growing field, and I really can't think of a better field to be in right now. That's biased because I'm an ISU major. But I read on part of its mission, and it's to encourage and support the development of both practitioners and employer organizations. And I think it'd be really beneficial, especially for young people like me, you know, who will be joining the industry right after college. We have already, you know, knowledgeable students with great potential to change the IT world. And I think, you know, having something for them, having a field that is valued and respected and has a structure for them to implement their ideas, I think that would be really great for them.
From your research, studies, and societal contributions, can you share some interesting stories, maybe something that's amusing, unexpected, amazing, and so on?
My first story is about Thon. You know, during the Thon season, we have many events that Four Diamond families attend, and, you know, we get to play with the kids, get to know the families right before Thon weekend. And my favorite one is Family Carnival. So it's just a day where we have a little carnival full of different booths, and, you know, children come and play or make crafts. And B-House, the Thon organization I am in, you know, we've been paired with a family this year, and the family came up for the carnival with our Thon child, who's a little adorable boy named Jordan, and he's 3. He has acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And it was just, my favorite memory of the day was just his little fingers dragging me across the room to play the same game over and over again. He loves, you know, we had like a little Nerf gun, and he like loved shooting it into the wall. There was a game for that. And, you know, we kept taking him away and trying to get him to play other games, and he would just continuously go to the new place and then, you know, force us to go back. And I think it was just how happy he was, laughing and, you know, smiling. And it really made me happy to see him, you know, just being a kid, because really kids with cancer are still kids. My second story, so we have 4 weekends during Thon season that are called canning weekends. And we go to different towns and states, and we solicitate money in cans. So one time when I was canning, a car with a mother and a little boy in the back seat stopped to make a donation. And, you know, the back window rolled down, and the boy was dropping the coins into the can. And he said, "This is all I have for my own money." And I really just thought that was a beautiful moment. And, you know, this little boy is already giving back at such a young age when there are so many older people out there who don't. So I think that was a very important example. And, you know, it's just really amazing to see the amount of potential in just younger people, you know, because they're going to be our future. And it just makes me feel warm that they're already starting to be charitable at such a young age. And my last story is about traveling to China for the first time in August of 2008. I visited Beijing, Hong Kong, and Guangzhou. And while I was in Beijing, I got to see the rehearsal for the opening ceremony, which I thought was really amazing live. And I also got to try cockroaches. And surprisingly, it didn't taste like anything, and it was really crunchy. So I learned a lot about different customs in China that I didn't know existed, being an American-born Chinese. So that was really cool.
Well, that's interesting about your experiences in China. So do you hope to go back?
Actually, just been back last summer. So, I mean, I really like it there. So, you know, it's a great vacation spot.
Now, what do you do for fun?
Like with China, I just love to travel and go to places and just learn about, you know, that place and that culture and just generally learn new things. I love eating all different kinds of food and cooking them, although I'm not very good at it. But I also like to play sports and be active and, you know, go to the beach. That's my favorite place in the world, you know, whenever I can during the summer. I also love dance and just hang out with my friends and family.
Now, if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask and then what would be your answers?
My first question would be, who are your role models? So I think my role models are my parents. I always struggled with this question whenever people asked me, because usually they would say some kind of celebrity or, you know, a person of significance in their field. And I think my true role models are my parents. They're really hardworking and they're really genuine people who I look up to. And, you know, they've managed to raise me to be a happy, successful person in my college career. So I definitely want to be like them when I grow up. My second question would be, what would you like to be doing with IT when you graduate? So I'm currently really interested in the consulting field, mainly just because I love helping people solve problems and I love technology. So I think that would be a really great thing for me to do with IT, just using my knowledge and helping different organizations with it. My third question would be, what are your goals in life? And I think it's kind of hard to pick my top five goals. I think that would be, number one, to, it might be a stretch, but become a partner or even a CIO in a firm. Number two, I'd like to get married and start a healthy family. Number three, create a program that betters the quality of life for children. And four, always be genuine and a down-to-earth person. And five, you know, like I said, how much I love about traveling, travel all around the world and eat, like, all the different cultural foods. And I think, yeah, just being happy with all of them would be my goals.
I see. That's fascinating. So, now, if you were to, I don't know, if you had the ability to change anything in the world, what would it be?
Definitely social inequality. I think everyone deserves to have, you know, at least a little bit of happiness and a little bit of good in their life. And I just see so many different things being unjust. And I just wish I can change that and make, you know, the world a better place to live in.
You're going into your political season next year, right? And you have the ability to elect a president again. And
mm-hmm.
What are your feelings about that whole political process in the United States?
Well, I've actually taken a American government course over the past summer, and I've learned a lot about politics. I originally wasn't a person about politics, and you know, I voted, but you know, it was just more so of the surface things. And really, that class taught me, you know, just to look into the candidates and, you know, what they're really fighting for, because, you know, that's the way that we can change as a society. And, you know, this year, you know, as, you know, all the, different political candidates are coming out and, you know, it's voting season, I think it's really important to vote and just know about each candidate and what they're fighting for, because hopefully they will implement the right things to make our society better.
Well, Eileen, I really enjoyed spending this time with you, and I know you've got a demanding schedule. You've got exams. You're involved in so many different things. So we are indeed fortunate to have you come in to do this interview. So thank you for sharing your experiences and insights with our audience.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Eileen Chen, an honors student at Penn State who is leading and shaping the future of ICT in society.